I don't care who you are. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I don't care how many good works you do. I don't care how dedicated and steadfast in the labor of the Lord you are. You will or have at some point grown weary in God's service. It's going to happen. And I think about the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy. We've got two of them, 1st and 2nd Timothy. And you think about 1st Timothy, and 1st Timothy is such an optimistic book. You can hear it in the tone of Paul's writing, and he's talking to Timothy about his work as a preacher and the things that are going to be going on in the congregation there, and he talks about the appointing of elders and Timothy's role in that, and what an exciting time for the congregations that he'd be working with, and he goes on and he talks about all these encouraging things and these charges to Timothy about being a faithful preacher, and it's very optimistic. And then we come to 2 Timothy, a letter written sometime later, and the tone changes. Here is an older preacher in Paul talking to a younger preacher in Timothy, and it appears to me from these first two chapters of the book of 2 Timothy that Paul is writing to a preacher who has grown weary, a laborer for God. Just as we all in the Church of Christ are laborers for God, he grew weary just as we grow weary. And so Paul needed to give him some things that would be helpful for him. I'd like to turn your attention to this morning the first two chapters of the book of 2 Timothy, where we will see eight things that Paul reminded Timothy of. Eight things that Timothy needed to remember because he had grown weary in God's service. And I think that's going to become evident to you this morning. Number one, verses 1-5 of 2 Timothy chapter 1. When you grow weary in your labor, when you grow weary in God's service, remember where you came from. Notice these verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have, here's our key word, remembrance. This is going to be key throughout the sermon. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful. That's a lot like remembrance. Being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Paul says, Timothy, you've grown weary of the Lord's service. You need to remember where you came from. Where did he come from? Well, first of all, Paul looks at Timothy and he calls him my son, my dearly beloved son in the faith. Happy Father's Day to you fathers. So grateful for godly men who serve in that role of fatherhood. When men serve the role of father to a household, it can shape generations. And you have some of that here in this congregation, I know. Spiritual fathers are just as important. And while Timothy was not Paul's son in the flesh, he was Paul's son in the faith. And Paul calls Timothy to remember that. He says, you are my son. Timothy, remember where you came from. Remember where you were when I found you. Notice where you are today. He says, I thank God for you. I thank God for you, Timothy. You're important. And that's why I remember you every night and day in my prayers. And that's why I greatly desire to see you. Notice when I'm mindful of your tears. Paul knows about the sorrows that Timothy is facing. He's seen those tears, or at least read of them in letters that Timothy might have sent to Paul, and he's mindful of them. He says, Timothy, you're down, but remember what I remember. Remember what I remember. I remember the unfeigned faith that I see in you. It's the faith that I see in you that first dwelt in your grandmother and then in your mother. And then Paul says, I'm persuaded in thee also. Paul doesn't use that word persuaded lightly. He says, Timothy, I know your faith, and your faith is not fake. It's real. It's something that you can hold on to. It's something that has substance. Remember where you came from. Where did you come from? Every one of you who's a member of the Lord's body had someone study the Bible with you. Someone perhaps who had a great spiritual influence in your life. Maybe it's several people like Timothy who was blessed to have his grandmother and his mother and the Apostle Paul as well. You have influences in your life that have shaped you and made you what you are today and made you a Christian today. Remember them. They'll help you in times when you grow weary. Point number two. When you grow weary in your labor for the Lord, remember your gifts. Verses 6 through 14. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto, Paul says, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in the faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. What's the gift that Timothy needed to remember? He needed to remember in this particular instance and in this context the spiritual gift that was bestowed on him by the laying on the hands of the Apostle Paul. You remember during the time when there were apostles, the apostles and only the apostles, check Acts chapter 8, could lay their hands on someone and give them miraculous abilities, a spiritual gift. And Timothy's spiritual gift was the ability to preach by inspiration. As we see here in this text, Paul says, Timothy, I want you to stir up the gift. In other words, use it. Use your gift, Timothy. I want you to use your gift. Why? Well, then Paul goes on this discussion, and it seems like it's not relevant to the point at hand, but it very much is. He talks about suffering. He talks about, first of all, the gospel, and then he talks about suffering because of the gospel. And so he mentions Jesus, and he mentions salvation, he mentions the plan, he mentions the gospel, he says, I'm appointed a preacher, and then he says, I've suffered because I'm a preacher. I've suffered because I'm an apostle. I've suffered because I'm a teacher of the Gentiles. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. What happened? Timothy grew ashamed. See, he had grown weary in his work as a preacher. He had grown weary in God's service, and he had become ashamed. He wasn't using his gift. He wasn't preaching like he was supposed to be. The apostle gave him a miraculous ability, and he stopped using it. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being to the level of depression and discouragement that if you had miraculous abilities from on high, you failed to use them? We'll find out why in just a moment here that Timothy wasn't using his gifts. But Paul says, I'm not ashamed, Timothy. You can hear the subtext. Why are you? Why are you? Here's what you need to do, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words. Preach it. Use your gift. That good thing that was committed by the Holy Spirit to you. Every one of you have gifts. Not miraculous abilities, but abilities nonetheless given from on high. When God shaped you and created you and gave you your individual personality and your individual abilities and those abilities you've taken and harnessed and practiced and grown better in, God wanted you to use those for the kingdom. Not in the way that some people talk about it. Some people say, well, here I am carrying a football across the goal line. Praise be to God, He wanted me to do that. Or maybe in a doctrinal discussion about the instrumental use of music in the worship of the Lord's church, God gave me the ability to play the piano. Wouldn't He want me to use it in worship? You see, what that's doing is taking a gift that God has blessed you with and using it for your own purposes. That's not what Paul's commanding here. Paul's saying, Timothy, you've been given a gift. You need to use it for God's purposes. And every one of you have abilities that can be used in the service of the Lord. You want to shock your elders? You want to put them on the floor? Go up to one of them today and say, I need work to do. Can you give me a job for the church that will help the church? Can you give me something that I can do? Maybe some of you have done that. Maybe you've seen the shock looked on their faces. I hope they're not shocked. I hope I'm wrong about that. Maybe this is a congregation where a whole bunch of people are coming to them saying, give me a job, what can I do? But I bet what really is the case is there's a job right now that needs to be done, and Chris and JJ and your elders are thinking, I wonder who's going to take care of that. Because I don't have anybody right now. Maybe you could be that person. You're not going to find out if you don't ask. Use your gifts. When you're weary, use your gifts. God gave them to you. Point number three. When you grow weary in God's service, remember your friends in the faith. Notice verse 15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia are turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy, though, unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Paul says, when you grow weary, when you get tired, when you get down, think about your friends in the faith. And Paul says, not everyone's a friend in the faith. You think about these individuals mentioned here. We've got Phygellus and Hermogenes, and he says, they turned away from me. Oh, but not Onesiphorus. Paul is sitting there in his chain, in his bond, in his prison. And notice he very diligently sought me out and found me. He was not ashamed and he ministered unto me. He helped me. Christian, if you're down, if you're weary, it's okay to get help. I think some people think they're always the ones that are supposed to be giving the help. And yes, we're to help others as Christians. But when you're down and weary, let someone else help you. Don't be so proud that you won't let them in and let them help you. And don't feel as if you've got to do all the saving. Sometimes you need to be saved. And who better than your friends in the faith? We often talk about Barnabas, the son of consolation. He was well known by the apostles as the son of consolation. His real name was Joseph. They changed his name. We only call him Barnabas. Why? Because that's what he was known for. And we all need a Barnabas, but brethren, we also need an Onesiphorus. That friend who won't be ashamed of our problems, who will come and put his arm around us and help us when we're in need. Point number four, chapter two. When you're weary in God's service, remember it takes focus to excel. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We're going through verse 7. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Paul says, Timothy, when you're weary, you need to focus. Don't get distracted by all these things on the outside that don't matter. When you get weary and tired and down, that's the time you need to hone in and focus. And I love this here, this little bit of encouragement that he gives them in verse 2. He says, I want you to teach others also. Or I want you to teach faithful men so that they can teach others also. He's saying, Timothy, you're strong. People need to learn from you, Timothy. Maybe Timothy, in feeling down, say, I sure wish Paul was here to deal with this. I sure wish Paul was here to deal with these problems. And Paul says, Timothy, you're the man for the job. You need to teach others. They need to be listening to you. Love it. But then he talks about these three different works. An athlete, a soldier, and a farmer. He uses these three beautiful illustrations to talk about focus and diligence and intensity in labor. He says if a man's going to be a soldier, he's not going to distract himself with other affairs. He's off to war. If a man's going to be a world-class athlete, he can't just show up to the event, to the Olympics or to the NBA Finals or to the Major League Baseball game. He can't just show up and excel and compete well. He's got to train. And the farmer, I like this one especially. He says the husbandman, the farmer that labors must first be partaker of the fruits. What is he talking about? Well, you don't walk out in your garden and get tomatoes and okra and onion unless you prepared the soil, unless you watered or planted and watered and cared for those plants. Remember the story of the little red hen? Everyone wanted the bread when it came out of the oven. But when she said, come help me plant the seed. Come help me do this. Come help me do that. We need to go harvest now. Come help me. All this work. No, we're busy. But when the bread came out of the oven, wasn't everyone else there? And they just show up and expect to have part in the fruits, in the rewards of the little red hen's labor. And she says, no, I'm the one who worked for this. Christian, listen to me very carefully. You don't just show up for heaven. You can't. It's not possible. You can't just show up and say, let me in. You've got to do the work. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, you've got to do the work. Don't be so depressed that you're inactive. You've got to focus on the task that is at hand. Christian, here's how you focus. Get the lay of the land first. Don't just run without knowledge. If you run without knowledge, you look like a fool. You see, you got to strive lawfully. Remember that about the athlete? So get the lay of the land. Read your Bible. Study it. Figure out what God wants you to do. Figure out what serving in the kingdom means. Figure out what being a true disciple is. Find out about the one true church. And when you learn those boundaries, when you learn where those markers are, you've done the knowledge, and I'm not saying you don't continue to learn, you do. But once you figure out what you're supposed to be doing, you run! Full steam ahead, you run! You've got to focus to excel. Number next. When you grow weary in the Lord's labor, remember it's not about you. Number 5, verses 8 through 10, it's not about you. Remember, he says, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He says, Timothy, enough with the pity party. You're throwing yourself your own pity party and you're the only guest. It's time to move on. Why? Because it's not about Timothy and it's not about me when I grow weary. I need to remember what it is about. That Jesus, the Christ, was raised from the dead. I need to remember what that means. That's the gospel. His death, burial, and resurrection. I need to know what that means. I need to remember that, call that to remembrance. And Paul says, even though I'm bound, he's sitting there in prison, right? Even though I'm bound, the Word of God's not bound. Paul could have thrown a pity party and said, I sure wish I could do more. Did some of his best work in writing the prison epistles. He knew the Word of God wasn't bound even though he was. It's not about you. It's about our Lord. Point number 6. Remember the resurrection. Verse 11. Really, this starts in verse 8. When he says, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead. That's where he starts. And then I see verses 9 and 10 as a parenthetical statement. But let's keep going with what he's talking about with the resurrection here in verse 11. He says, it is a faithful saying For if we be dead with Him, Christ, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Paul says it's about the resurrection. Remember the resurrection. Remember what Christ did. And remember what our job is. To suffer with Him. To die with Him. So that we can live and reign with Him. He says, Timothy, you're suffering, and that's okay because that's what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to suffer with Christ. But notice the other option. Timothy, you've got two options. You can suffer with Christ, you can die with Christ, or you could deny Christ. And then he leaves it open to our imagination in verse 13 when he says, if we believe not, and you hear that pregnant pause, and Paul says, well, He's faithful, and He can't deny Himself. What He's saying is, if we don't believe, He's not going to save us. Because that would be outside of His nature. He is faithful, He is just, and He can't deny who He is. Point number 7. When you grow weary, remember the standard of God's Word. And here's where we get some insight into the problems that Timothy is facing. Notice beginning in verse 14. He says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto even more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You see what had Timothy so weary? People like Hymenaeus and Philetus, going around and spreading this false doctrine. You ever notice that false doctrine is discouraging? Isn't it discouraging? On different levels, depending on the situation, sometimes it's just bleak. And talking about, well, no heaven, all that we have is heaven on earth. That's discouraging. That's not something to look forward to. You got other things that are just so ignorant and unlearned by the Scriptures, and you hear it, where did they get that? Where did that come from? And then other times, it's not so much about what's being said, it's about who's saying it. And I wonder if there's some of that here. I wonder if Timothy knew these guys. Maybe they were strong Christians at one time, but now, I don't think they're denying the resurrection of our Lord. I don't think that's what he's saying. It sounds to me from reading this that he says they're denying the resurrection coming again. In other words, we read about resurrection accounts in the Old Testament. We read about resurrection accounts in the Gospel like Lazarus. And then we read about Christ's resurrection. And I don't think they're denying those resurrections. I think they're saying the resurrection's done now. There's no more. And so what that would mean is all these Christians from this point on, from the time of Christ's resurrection on, all Christians, in other words, don't resurrect from their physical bodies when they die. And Paul says, you need to study to show thyself approved unto God. Don't know if I've ever studied this verse in context before studying for this sermon, but it doesn't change the meaning. We're not using it out of context, really, or against the context, but it gives it a deeper meaning when you see it in the context that these words that are to no profit but to subvert the hearers. And so we need to study. A workman takes work to really study. That need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing aright, handling aright the word of truth. He says, shun these profane and vain babblings. They will increase to even more ungodliness. They eat as a canker. And so, he says, well, what's the truth on the matter? Well, they say the resurrection's past. What does Paul say? The Lord knows who are His. They have a seal. Christians have a seal. He knows who are His. Brethren, we're going to resurrect in that last day and meet Him in the air. And then He gives this illustration. So beautiful and simple. And you could take it one or two ways. This house. He says, in a great house, there are vessels of gold and silver, vessels of honor, or vessels of wood and earth, vessels to dishonor. He says, if a man purge himself from these, the vessels of dishonor, then all that's going to be left in the house are vessels of honor. Sanctified, set apart, meet for the master's use. I think what he's saying, from my study, is that God is this man. And God looks at his house. And God sees people like Timothy and Paul. And then he sees people like, well, Philetus and Hymenaeus. Those are going to be purged. You could take it another way and take it on an individual Christian level, how we are the man of the house. And when we look at our lives and the people that we're surrounding ourselves with, are we spending all of our time in these vain arguments? Just going back and forth and biting and devouring one another? Maybe that's what Timothy was doing with Hymenaeus and Philetus. Or are we going to purge those things and get them out of our lives and move on? I'm not saying we shouldn't debate these issues, but let's go on to the next point and see what Paul does say to do. Finally, number 8, when you grow weary, remember to be patient with others. He says, flee also youthful lust. This is not sexual immorality. That's not what he's talking about. I think Timothy's youthful lust, or he desires to go and just bicker back and forth with these guys. And it's gotten him down and discouraged. Paul says, that's not the way you need to handle this situation. This situation, this particular situation, he says, flee youthful lust, follow righteousness, faith, love, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That wouldn't be these guys. He's not saying just go along to get along. He's not saying unity and diversity. You know, they teach one thing, you teach another. Let's just have unity all the same. That's not unity, and that's not what Paul's teaching. He's saying have fellowship, have righteousness, faith, love, peace, so on, with those that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. There is a place for debate. There is a time where there's an issue at hand, a matter of life and godliness that needs to be discussed, and some people teach one thing and other people teach another thing, and we need to go to God's Word and say, this is what thus saith the Lord on the matter. There is a time for that. But in this particular situation where Timothy is jumping into these foolish and unlearned questions, he's giving them too much credit. He's giving them too much of a platform, too much place to have a say on these matters that are clearly not what God wants. And so in this situation, Paul is saying, Timothy, they need to learn from you. And so you don't jump into these arguments. They're not doing any good. You teach. You teach. Use the gift. Teach. Be patient. Let the Word of God work on them. Do it with the right attitude and meekness, but instruct them. Why? Because they're opposing themselves. instead of looking at them as equals in a way, Timothy needed to take pity on them because they were only hurting themselves. He says, if God peradventure will give them repentance. He's not saying that God will force them to repent. What he's saying is, pray that they will before it's too late, so that they may recover themselves. Be patient, Timothy. I know you're weary. I know you're tired of this. Be patient. Gently, kindly, continuously preach the word. Christian, are you weary? In a group this size, there's got to be somebody who is. Somebody listening to this sermon is tired of working. Remember these things. Paul wanted Timothy to continue on. You remember when Elijah became depressed after his great battle or great victory on Mount Carmel? God tells him, take a break, sleep, get some food, nourishment, and get back to work after showing him how great a God he is. How great a God we serve. He provides our needs. He gives us everything we need to continue and be steadfast in the labor, because we know our labor is not in vain. Christian, if you're weary, it's time to come out of that. It's time to make it right. It's time to press on. And you've got friends in the faith that will help you. If we can help you this morning to make any matter in your life, a matter of sin or a matter that's troubling you, right. If we can pray for you, we want to. Let us help you, please. Give us that honor. Come now as we stand and as we sing.